I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I haven't been able to get back to sleep. Well, I picked Juliana up at the airport in about an hour at 5:45 a.m. It's 4:54 a.m. right now, which is now why it's dark behind me. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series. If I could, I'd like to give you a little personal information real quick before I get back into the constellation of Revelation chapter 12. This might be interesting to some of you. I just noticed that my life has seemed to have gone in 7-year increments. It's very strange. I might have mentioned this before, but this walk of mine really started in 1979. I think this will be instructive. In 1979, April, I was awakened to things of the Spirit. I watched the movie Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth on television. I became convicted. I saw the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ for my sin for the first time, very graphically. And I bought my first Bible in 1979. But I was a Christian, and I think the war began. It was the beginning of a war. When you first become awakened, it's not salvation. It's not becoming aware of your salvation. It's the beginning of a war. And there was a war then on. You know, God likes to have wars and battles. Loves the battles, loves the wars. Doesn't just do stuff all nice and neat, you know, hop, skip, and a jump. No. Red Rover. Let Zender come over. Forget about it. A war began. And then in 1986, 7 years later, 79, 80, 1, 2, 3, 4, 86, was a big year for me. Well, my first son was born that year. That's true. But I got a giant box of material from the Concordant Publishing Concern. I learned about the Concordant Literal New Testament in 1982. And the dude who would become my future father-in-law told me about the salvation of all. And it sounded intriguing to me, but that can't be right. Huh. So then I read a book about it. He gave me this book by, who the heck was that book by? It's called The Restitution of All Things by Andrew Jukes. And I read it, and I became convinced at that point. Maybe that was 1983 or 1984. However, a belief in the salvation of all does not a believer make, because the salvation of all is not the gospel. The salvation of all is a result of the gospel. The gospel is Paul's evangel. That's a hair in my mouth. What's going on here? Paul's gospel, the death for sin, the entombment and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation of all is a result of that. So I know many people who believe in the salvation of all, but they're not believers. They're not in Paul's gospel. They're not members of the body of Christ. You got your universalists, your Unitarians. They believe in the salvation of all for different reasons. They don't base it on the cross of Christ. They just base it on the universalists, I think, say that God's too nice to damn anybody. God's too nice. He wouldn't do that. And the Unitarians think that man is too good to be damned. So between those two, they have two giant errors, and the whole thing burns up and falls to the ground in flaming shreds. So in 1986, that's when I suspected something was up with Paul, but that's when I really realized I became aware of my salvation, and I realized the death of Christ. All this material information came, and so that was 1986, and I absorbed it. So for the next 7 years, I studied. I was working at the post office, supporting my family, and I was also writing for newspapers. I was writing for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I was writing for the Chicago Tribune, not regularly for the Chicago Tribune, but I was writing regularly for the Mansfield News Journal, the Massillon Independent, and in the meantime, I was studying. I was attempting to master this material. That took 7 years. 7 years, the number of perfection, or complete, yeah, perfection, yeah. And then in 1993, I started this work full-time, 1993. And then I went on the speaking circuit, and I wrote and I spoke and I went everywhere where anybody wanted to hear me talk. I was so full of these things of God. I thought, why don't people who learn this stuff spit it out? This kind of goes along with what I was talking to you about yesterday, this compulsion, this angst, this madness. So anyway, that I did that for 7 years until 2000. Then I kind of withdrew from the speaking circuit, and I began to write books. How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, my first book. And in 2007, 7 years from then, I went on the what I called the Zender Tour. Well, I was the one going on it. I was all alone in my car, so why not call it the Zender Tour? I'm Zender. It was a tour. I was out on the road for a month. I visited 13 states, had 18 meetings. It was a phenomenon of organization, which phenomenon, because how could I do such a thing? A guy who's not very organized. And yet I did. It was fantastic. That was 2007. In 2014, 7 years from there, I ended up in Brazil, and I began this series, the Revelation series, which is important somehow. It's important somehow. Been on that for 2.5 years now, going on 3 years in September. And then in 2021 is the tribulation. Now we're getting into the future. 2021, the tribulation starts. So I've been at this for 42 years, beginning with the awakening, 42 years at the time the tribulation starts. That's long enough. It's long enough to make one mad. Apart from the saving power of Jesus Christ. Now, I had a friend in Las Vegas. I call him Las Vegas Joe. His name came up on my phone yesterday. It said Las Vegas Joe. I haven't heard from him in a while. Joe Newman, great believer, wonderful family out there in Las Vegas, except he lives in a little town a mile, an hour north of Las Vegas. Now, anyway, he told me, Zender, you're not going to believe this. He says, I'm going on Stellarium. And by the way, if you want to download Stellarium, good luck to you. Stellarium. This is part of knowledge increasing. Stellarium, it's the application. I can't download it. I have an Apple computer that I'm saving this video on right now. It's only 2 years old, and Stellarium says, nope, I can't go on your computer. It's not good enough. It's not a latest enough version. It's not late enough. What are you, Zender? A triceratops of technology? Can't do it, so I can't get it. Of course, Joe Newman said, it's easy. It took me 2 seconds. Of course, it takes everybody else 2 seconds. Me, it's impossible. But anyway, Joe says, I went to this video, and I'm going to link you to this video. Some guy named... All right, I got to find this again. Some kid named Plank Time, Planctime, makes a video called, it's really elegantly named. Listen to the name of this video on YouTube. This is the name of it. Revelation 12 sign on July 28th, 3973 BC, and the one on September 23rd, 2017, almost identical. That's the name of this guy's video. He has 605 views as of today when I'm looking at this. And the guy, I think he's gay. And he just sounds gay, that's all I'm saying. But it's a great video. This guy found out that this constellation that's coming on September 23rd, 2017, was in the sky. The last time it was in the sky was in 3973 BC. He says July 28th. Joe checked it out. Las Vegas Joe checked it out. And he says he's finding it June 26th, 3973. But the significance is the date. Does that ring a bell? 3973? That was the beginning of Adam. Adam, year zero was 3973 BC. The years from Adam, zero. So the creation of Adam, this star alignment, apparently, according to Stellarium, and this Stellarium, Stellarium, good luck downloading it. You'll probably be able to do it in 5 seconds. This program, it's not like a Christian thing. It's not like a bunch of people trying to convince you that there's this great constellation that has to do with Revelation chapter 12. They don't give a crap about that. It's just a program that tells you where the stars are. Simple as that. It's objective as can be. Just like A. Enoch, people accused him, you know, the compiler of the Concordant version. Oh, you just got up a version of the scripture to prove your little pet doctrine of the salvation of all. And A. Enoch says, I believed in eternal torment until I started working on an accurate translation of the scriptures based on logical premises, based on a scientific system of using one Greek word for one English word and not using that English word for any other Greek word. I started doing that because I lusted after a consistent translation, and then the salvation of all jumped out at me. It jumped out at me. I wasn't trying to find it. I wasn't doing up a version to verify some preconceived idea. No. This correct version blew up my preconceived idea and made me realize that God was the Savior of all humanity, and Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world sent by God to save all humanity. So, Las Vegas Joe. So go to this video. This kid is hilarious. It's just so great that he only has 600 views. I love it. 3973 of all the crazy years. This verifies the year that what's the name of this guy I'm studying? Oh, F.H. Bader, and also Ernest Martin, and also Eduardo Mahler. They're all coming up with this. 3973 BC, 3,973 years before Christ was Adam. And then Christ lives for a while, does his thing, and ends up being 4,000 years. And if you add 2017, we're doing the BC AD thing now. If you add 2017 to 3,973, you come up with 5,990. So this kid, Planck time, says we're at the year 5990. I've been telling you we're 5989. He's got us 1 year on the fast track. He's 1 year ahead of it, which would mean the kingdom would come in 2027. Now, Ernest Martin, I'm going to give you Ernest Martin probably tomorrow. He says 2027 or 2028. I'm telling you, we're in the right ballpark here. But here's, again, the sad thing. I want to emphasize this before I go into detail on Ernest Martin. I'm going to go line by line on this. I might be on this for a couple weeks. Who knows? I'm going to go line by line in Revelation chapter 12, and I'll probably link you to some videos. There's tons of videos out there. But here's the thing. Again, like I said yesterday, most of the people making these videos are Christians. And they're going to think that September 23rd is a bust, because September 23rd is going to come and go, and they're going to still be here on the planet Earth, because they all think it's the rapture. And again, I tell you, it may very well be the rapture. I'm not saying it is. It could be, but they're not going to be raptured because they're not in the body of Christ. Remember, I was mocked when I said there were 5,000 members of the body of Christ. The people who said, that's crazy, there's got to be more than that. These people have since come around and said, Zender, you know, I think you're right. I think it's even generous. I think it's generous too. I'm thinking between 500 and 1,000 members of the body of Christ alive today, alive. Because for one thing, we're in the tail end of the apostasy. There are many more dead in Christ, but they're going to rise without a whisper. They're not saying anything much now, are they? No. So Jesus Christ is going to raise the dead first, thereupon we, the living, who remain to the coming of the Lord. And again, I tell you, 1 Thessalonians 4 was written because there was a problem. There was an issue. And the issue was, Paul, if what you're saying is true, that there's going to come a day where the last member of the body of Christ comes in, there's going to come a day during Eon 3, during 6,000 years of man's rule, the 6,000 years from Adam, sometime during that time, when Jesus Christ returns to complete his body in order to complete the universe, in order to complete God, some people are going to be alive. I mean, it's all neat and clean if everybody's dead. Then we can do the resurrection, it's no problem. Nobody on earth knows, but Paul, you're telling us it's going to happen, bada bing, bada bang, on a certain day at a certain hour before the kingdom comes. Therefore, if we're hearing you right, Paul, there's going to be a group of people who are members of the body of Christ who are going to be alive when Jesus Christ comes. How are you going to fix that problem? So Paul writes 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in order to explain, in order to fix the problem and tell you how it's going to happen. It's so literal. It's so graphic. We who are surviving to the presence of the Lord will not outstrip the dead. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command with the chief messenger. The voice of the chief messenger, I'm paraphrasing now from memory, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Thereupon, we the living who are remaining until the coming of the Lord will rise together with them, will be snatched away together in the air with the dead at the same time. And there we will forever be with the Lord. We're not coming back to earth after we're snatched away. We're going to our celestial home because our realm is inherent in the heavens. Philippians 3:10. Maybe it's 2:10. Read the whole book of Philippians. You'll find it. But you see, these people who are now on the internet, like big time, telling you these things, besides me, these people besides me, including Planktown, Planktime, they are going to be apologizing on September 24th. They're going to be making videos of retraction. They're going to be making videos of regret if they're still in the faith at all. I mean, they're not in the, but they're just going to quit even the popularity club. They're going to want out of the popularity club of Christianity because they're going to think that Christ disappointed them. When the truth will be that something extremely profound did happen at that sign. And the sign's real. And they were correct. But, you know, when the wise guys came to Jerusalem and asked Herod about the coming of Christ, Herod pulled out the prophet Micah and says, well,
says here they're gonna come into, says here they're coming, he's coming into Bethlehem. Gonna have some fried taters. I'm gonna fry some taters, and then after I fry taters, I'll tell you that Christ's coming into Bethlehem. That looks like with a date. Now I'm gonna get me some fried taters.
That's Herod. So you can know stuff, you can have the scriptures, and you can be correct. But it doesn't mean that you yourself are in on the flow, does it? And this makes me sad. I take no joy at all in saying the following, that three years after the snatching away, Christians will still be waiting for the snatching away. Well, look what happened to the Jews in Jesus' day. And today, the day after Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, they're still looking for their Messiah. And they're still looking for their Messiah today, as I speak to you. They're still looking for their Messiah. Oops. And yet, who has the scriptures? The Jews. And so, this date, this constellation has to be known. It has to be made known. Look who it's being made known by. I was kind of audacious yesterday to say that I'm the only member of the body of Christ talking about this constellation. The rest of the people are Christians. But look, it's got to be known, and it is being made known. But I got less views on many of my videos than Planktime. I wasn't making fun of him. I just said he sounded like he has a little an effeminate voice. I'm not judging him or anything about that. I just mentioned it as a statement of fact. I'm not disparaging him or saying that's wrong or bad. I think it's great. I think it's great to see who God's using to bring these things up. And then Las Vegas Joe calls me about plank time. That's so fantastic. I love plank time. Doesn't come across to me like a man of power. That's what I'm saying. But see, that's how God works. Maybe he'll listen to this video, become intrigued, and become a member of the body of Christ if he's not already. Oh, my alarm's going off. You know what that alarm's telling me? It tells me I need to wake up now and pick up Juliana at the airport. What this alarm doesn't know is I woke up 2 hours ago. Yeah, it's now 5:15, and I woke up 2 hours ago for some reason. All right, sorry. Didn't mean to get too close to the microphone there. Okay, I think, did I cover everything? Yeah, I think tomorrow I want to talk to you about Ernest Martin, who has a website, askelm.com. Of course, I don't agree with everything Ernest Martin says, but he was a very sincere man, a good scholar. And I'm friends with David Seelaff, who now runs the website that was formerly run by Dr. Ernest Martin, who has since deceased. A good man. Both of these men, good men. And so Ernest Martin has some good writing on the 7,000 year plan, and I want to talk to you about that tomorrow as we delve further into a celestial phenomenon that is coming again to a theater near you, and I want you to be awake. That's all I'm saying. I want you to be awake. I want you to be aware. This thing's going to come in an instant, our change. I feel bad for people who think that they're in on it, but they're not, because they're deceived, because they have been sucked into the lie of Christianity, and yet God has given them to see this sign. And they're going to be very disappointed. Although there's a chance, I'll say this as I finish, there's a chance. When I tell you what I believe this sign, what's going to happen on this day, September 23rd. Some of these people could be part of the remnant of Israel. They could be part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. This very well could be. And they could be plugged into this partly because they're of Israel. Because Israel loves to look for signs. Israel does look at the sky. Israel cares about that kind of stuff. So it could be now. It could be that some of these people, I almost said many, but some of these people will be part of the group that's illuminated on that day. And they will have a light bulb appearing over their heads, metaphorically. They'll be coming to a realization of the truth of the circumcision evangel, not Paul's evangel. These are circumcision people at best, they're circumcision people. And I mean, at best, they're going through the tribulation and will remain true and will endure to the end and be saved into the circumcision evangel. Once the snatching away happens in the body of Christ, there's no more members of the body of Christ. So the best you got at that point is to be a member of the circumcision and to endure to the end. And either you're a member of the 144,000 or you're a member of the vast throng, which is probably more than 144,000. And I'm sorry, but you are going through the tribulation. Some of you will die. Some of you will survive. In any case, if you do die, you will die a martyr's death if you don't take that mark of the beast. And I was thinking of this at the grocery store the other day. Let's say the mark of the beast comes up in a month. They suddenly come up with this mark or this whatever, and you realize that this is the mark of the beast. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, We can line up five times for the mark of the beast. We can get it five times. It doesn't matter. We're sealed. You understand? We're sealed into the body of Christ, and we cannot escape the body of Christ. And so you can get back in line for the mark of the beast and take it again. 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 It doesn't matter because you're not in that system. You're not in the world system. You're not in the system of Judaism. You're not in the system of the circumcision gospel. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise according to Paul. Gospel. And so you, my dear listener and viewer, you cannot be harmed by the mark of the beast, even if you did take it. But I think we're going to be gone before that noise comes down the pipe. But even if it does, you can get back in line and get it again, and it's not gonna matter, because once saved, always saved. Once sealed, always sealed. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not famine, not sword, not nakedness, not trial, not persecution, and not the mark of the beast.